which way we go tonight, and just seemed like I could not get away from this and be a little bit different. I know we've been doing the hermeneutics on Wednesday nights, but that is what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to go through and look at hermeneutics and look at how to study the Bible and continue with the things that differ. And you say, well, preacher, you're messing up. The services we've had, we better not stop and do something like that. Well, what I want to deal with tonight goes right along with this morning and goes right along with what's been said tonight as well. And I'm just going to do my best to trust the Lord and do my best to be obedient to Him and trust He knows what He's doing tonight. Hosea chapter number 6, begin reading in verse number 1. When you find your places, if you're willing and able, stand with us tonight in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of the Lord. Hosea chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Bible said, come and let us return unto the Lord. For He hath torn and will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. Notice verse 2. After 2 days will He revive us, and the third day will raise He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. He is going forth, is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Notice verse 4. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as early dew, it goeth away. Therefore have I hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is the city of them that worketh iniquity, and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way. By consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is whoredom in Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he has set that harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I sure love you tonight. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, once again for the privilege, God, the honor to meet with you people this evening. Lord, thank you for the spirit that we felt this morning. God, I pray that, Lord, would you have your will and way here in this service tonight and help us as we study your word together. Lord, I pray put a guard upon my lips and have me to say nothing that be contrary to your will or your word. Lord, just for a little while tonight, would you help your people? Give us unction, give us utterance. Lord, I pray if there be one of the midst lost and none without you, save them, for it's everlasting too late. We'll be careful tonight to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. You be seated, and thank you for standing tonight. Now, we've been looking. I'm going to preach a little bit more than I usually do, or I intend on it. I'll put it like that. I always seem to end up preaching when I do this, but I intend to preach a little bit tonight, but I want to preach a little while on this thought of the resurrections. Now, there are more than one. Did you know that? And it made me think about it when Coulter said this morning that he said he thought about there when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, how that he said, can we go ahead and have one early? Remember him making that statement? And there is more than one resurrection. In fact, the text we've read tonight is dealing with a resurrection. Did you know that? It is a resurrection that we're dealing with. Now, maybe not in the sense you're thinking of, but it is a resurrection. And now, let me just say, by way of introduction, we're talking about things that differ. And remember, things that are different are not the same. Isn't that right? So we must make distinction between these resurrections. There's three that the Bible lists. And within those three, there's several, I guess the way to put it in simple terms, there's 3 points I'm going to give you, but there's several sub-points and several sub-sub-points I'd like to give you tonight, because that's how the Bible breaks it up, okay? And so there's three three types of resurrections. They say, preacher, what are they? Well, there's a national resurrection, and that's what we're reading about tonight here in Hosea. It's referring to the resurrection of Israel. Then there's a spiritual resurrection that we'll deal with here in a few minutes. And then finally, there's a bodily resurrection, and that's what we think of when we think of the resurrection. But we must deal with all three tonight. Now, let me give you a few things. I know we want to get to the bodily resurrection, and we'll get there. But let me give you a few things about this national resurrection. Notice what your Bible said in verse number 1. Can we read it again? Bible said, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now, let me say this. Verse 4 makes it clear that he's referring to the nation of Israel. Notice what the Bible said. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and the early dew, it goeth away. Can I say this? Ephraim and Judah is representative of the nation of Israel. He's not referring to the church, and he's not referring to the bride, and he's not referring, Wayne, to a bodily resurrection. He's referring to the nation of Israel. Isn't that right? That they will be resurrected back to new to new life. Excuse me. Back to new life. Now, let me say just a few things. There's several things in this passage that is worth noting tonight. I'm going to go quick, okay? And I want to get to that bodily resurrection as bad as you do. First, I want to say this. We see that the context, by examining the context, I told you verse 4 makes it plain that it's addressed to the nation of Israel. But not only that, notice this. It is the whole house of Israel that makes the statement in verse 1, come, let us return unto the Lord. The nation of Israel says, let us return unto the Lord. Isn't that right? Now you say, preacher, why do they need to return? What's the last place that we really have heard about Israel? It was at his death. Isn't that right? Where they cried out and said, let his blood be on our hands and the hands of our children. And Earl, they transgressed against God. They rejected the Messiah, rejected the Word of God. And now they must be restored, must be revived, and John must be resurrected in order to regain their place. Isn't that right? So they said, come. There will come a time they'll say, come, let us return unto the Lord. It is the cry of repentance of a nation that has been torn and smitten by the Lord. Isn't that what the Bible said? The Bible said, for he hath torn and he will heal us. That's not happened yet. Isn't that right? He will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. That's not yet happened. They've not yet been healed and they've not yet been bound up together. Now let me say this. It is the cry of repentance of a nation that has been torn and smitten by the Lord, and not the cry of individuals dead in their graves. Isn't that right? Now, I'm not being ugly, but your loved ones that have died and gone on, their body cannot cry out, let us return unto the Lord. Isn't that right? That body is dead and cannot cry out. So we realize it's a nation and not individuals that are dead in their graves. The healing does not refer to a resurrection from the dead. And the binding means that the whole 12 tribes now scattered, isn't that right? The 12 tribes of Israel are scattered, isn't that right? They will be rebound together into one place and return unto the Lord. They'll be rebound into one nation again in their own land. Now let me say this. This is interesting to know. Watch what your Bible said. Verse number 2, after 2 days will he revive us. Isn't that right? That phrase, revive us, does not mean a resurrection from a physical death. For the word revive there simply means what we mean when we say we need revival. Are you with me? When we say that, Earl, I realize the word revive carries the idea. If your heart stopped beating right now, and we called 911, the paramedics come, they'd shock you, they'd do CPR, they'd try to revive you, they'd try to bring you back from the dead. But when we say that we're having revival, that doesn't mean we're bringing somebody back from the dead, right? It means there's some things spiritually in our life that have died that needs to be strengthened and renewed and revived. There's some things that we've begun to let die that needs to be brought back. And they're not, the nation of Israel's not crying out for a bodily revival, for a bodily resurrection, but they're crying out for a spiritual and a national resurrection. They turned their back on God, rejected the Messiah, and they realized they need revival. Isn't that right? So that's we find the word, the phrase, He will revive us. It's not a physical revival, but it is what we speak of when we speak of a revival of religion, which is spiritual and not a physical resurrection. You know what happened this morning? I'm not being ugly. I seen some of you, as God began to breathe through, I saw some of you get a spiritual resurrection. There was something that had been dead in your life for a long time spiritually that was quickened and revived. Isn't that right? There was some of you shouted, hadn't shouted in a long time. Hey, some of you wept that hadn't wept in a long time. Hey, was some of you raised your hand, hadn't raised your hand in a long time. There was some things that were quickened and revived spiritually. Within your heart. And that's what this passage is referring to. It's a spiritual revival, a spiritual resurrection for the nation of Israel when they turned their eyes back to God. That's exactly right. Now watch this. There's one thing I've got to deal with. I don't have time to deal with it as much as I want to, but I want to show you this. The most remarkable thing in this passage, can I show you something real quick, is the time frame. Watch what the Bible said in verse 2. After 2 days, isn't that right? 2 days will He revive us. And the third day He will raise us up. We shall live in His sight. So Wayne, the Bible said, it's not my opinion. Earl, it's not something I'm cooking up. The Bible said, after 2 days He will revive us. John, after the third day, we will live in His sight. Who's it talking about? The nation of Israel, right? Now, you say, preacher, what's so good about that? Well, let me show you a few things quickly. Let me say this. After 2 days, it is clear that those 2 days are not literal days of 24 hours. Isn't that right? And we're going to deal a little bit with how to interpret this. So y'all asked me, Chris asked me if we'd deal anything with prophecy. We're going to deal a little bit with it right now, all right? It's clear. We know this is prophetic. Verse 1 said, He hath smitten and He will bind us up. It said that He hath torn and will heal us. We know that's prophetic. It's not yet happened. He will do it. And then it says He'll do that after 2 days. Now we know it doesn't take anything but common sense to know that is not days of 24 hours. It's been more than 24 hours, more than 48 hours since this was written, and Israel is still scattered. Isn't that right? They have not been completely rebound into one nation. They have not turned, isn't that right? They've not had their resurrection in entirety yet. So we know it cannot be a literal 24-hour day. If you remember, we said at the beginning of this study that we always interpret, no matter what it may be, whether it be parable, prophecy, whatever it is, we always interpret literally unless what? It cannot be taken literally. Isn't that right? So now we know it cannot be taken that it's literally 2 days or 48 hours. So let me say this. More than 2 days, such days have gone by, and Israel has not yet been revived. These words were spoken by the prophet around 780 B.C., or roughly 2,700 years ago. So we know tonight that that's been far more than 48 hours. Isn't that right? Not been 2 days, it's been over 2,700 years, John, and they're still not revived. Now you say, preacher, does that mean that the Bible's wrong? Absolutely not. That right? Say, preacher, how do we have to interpret it? Well, let me say it like this. Therefore, it must be interpreted. There's no other way. No other way that God has given us that this passage can be interpreted than by using this. 2 Peter 3:8, the Bible said, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Isn't that right? So that's not 2 days as we see it. It's 2 days as the Lord sees it. Isn't that right? Don't lose me. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. What's one day to me is like 1,000 years. Isn't that right? He sees 1,000 years like I see one day. So when he told Hosea that the nation of Israel would have a national resurrection after 2 days, what he really meant was 2,000 years. That right?
Yeah.
Don't lose me. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now can I show you something? How long has it been since this was pinned down? Roughly 2,700 years. Years. That right? Now watch this. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years. Israel is now well along into the 3,000 years of her rejection. That right? That's right. It is to be sometime in this 1,000 years, corresponding to the third day. Isn't that what the Bible said in verse number 2? And he will revive us in the third day. He will raise us up and we shall live in His sight. Isn't that right? So there, if we're going on that scale, it is to be sometime in this 1,000 years, corresponding to the third day of Hosea, that Israel is to be revived and restored to her own land. What about that? What about that? What they tell me, at this moment, that Jews all over the world are going back to Israel. Isn't that right? You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, you don't have to turn on CNN. You don't have to turn on Fox News. The Bible will tell you that. Is that right? Isn't that right? You say, preacher, how can you know? Well, the Bible said after 3 days, and a day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. So, ain't that right? You say, preacher, do you know the exact day? Absolutely. And anybody, absolutely not. And anybody tells you they does is a liar. But I do know this. We're closer tonight than we've ever been. Did you know that? Oh, my, that's exciting to me. That may not do much to you. But prophecy is exciting. Amen. There's more to shout on than just heaven, by the way. That's exactly right. God has given us insight as to what the prophetic scheme is tonight. Oh my. There's not much I can know. I'm not telling you tonight I can know that tomorrow this will happen or that can happen. But John, there are certain things. While I may not know when it will happen, and while I may not know exactly how, while I may not understand exactly how He'll bring it forth, there are some things that I know, Ronald, I'll be at, and it will happen. Isn't that right? That's exciting to me. I don't have to lay my head down tonight and wonder what it'll be. I know I'll be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Is that right? You say, preacher, I don't sound too good. Well, I know that's a whole lot better than being judged at the great white throne judgment. Is that right? That's exactly right. I don't have to lay my head down and wonder tonight. I know there's coming a better day. I know there's a day of no more sorrow, no more sickness, and no more suffering. I know that tonight. Say, preacher, how do you know? Because prophecy tells us so. Isn't that right? That those 2 days must be interpreted on the scale that 1,000 years is as a day with the Lord. Now, that's tonight. That's the national resurrection. I know I didn't do that much justice, but that's about the best I can do tonight just off the time we have. But that's the national resurrection, that Israel will be restored. And prophecy gives us insight on as to when and how that will be. Take your Bibles. Go with me real quick to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Now remember those three kinds of prophecy. There's national, or not three kinds of prophecy, three kinds of resurrections. There's a national resurrection, then what? A spiritual resurrection. Ephesians chapter 2. While you're turning, let me say this. Many of you tonight have already experienced this resurrection. And if you hadn't tonight, you can. Let me say it again. Y'all must have been turning, didn't hear me. Many of you have experienced this resurrection. If you haven't, you can. Isn't that right? That's exactly right. Say, preacher, what is it? Watch what your Bible said. I'm not going to stay on it much, but I do want to show you this. Watch verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened. You know what that means? Made alive. Is that right? You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even, watch this, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up, my soul, together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You say, preacher, what is the spiritual resurrection? The Bible said in verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Isn't that right? In verse number 3, the Bible said, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of the flesh, the failing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Isn't that right? We all were sinners. We all were on our way to hell. We all were dead and trespassed in sins. But the Bible said in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even that when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Isn't that right? The spiritual resurrection is being saved by the marvelous grace of God this evening. So, preacher, what happens during that resurrection? Well, we all had our conversation in time past, feeling the lust of our flesh, feeling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The Bible said, youth, he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Whether you realize it or not, tonight before you got saved, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Isn't that right? But watch what it said in verse 6. And hath raised us up together. Well, let me slow down. I didn't think I'd have to, but let me slow down just a minute. Remember over there in John chapter 11, Jesus said, where have you laid him? And they took him to the tomb. And John, the Bible said, he stood there and saw Mary and Martha and began to weep. And then the Bible said, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. You know what happened? My soul, y'all ain't getting that. There he was. Lazarus laid back here in that tomb. I mean, he's dead. There's no life in his body. Isn't that right? He wasn't asleep. He wasn't sick. He was dead. Isn't that right? You believe whatever you want to, but I'm telling you, he'd have never got up off of that table had he not raised up. Is that not right? You try it sometime. Lay down on a pew. Lay down on your bed and get up without raising up. You can't do it. And what's the first thing he said he did? It hath raised us up. Isn't that right? My soul, you know what happened tonight? I got saved. He raised me up. Isn't that right? He didn't say we did it ourselves. I didn't work my way to get up because I was dead. Isn't that right? I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be crude. But I don't care if it's been 5 seconds or 50 years. Wendy, a dead body has no life in it. Exactly right. I don't care tonight whether you've realized you've been lost for 5 minutes or 50 years. You've got no life spiritually. You're dead. Can't do anything by yourself. The Bible said he hath raised us up together. Isn't that right? Oh, aren't you glad for the night of the day? He raised you up. You said, preacher, what else? Notice what your Bible said. Verse 6, hath raised up us together and made us sit together. Well, what about that? He raised us up together. I know this ain't real deep, but it's just what the Bible said. You know what'll happen tomorrow morning if the Lord tarries his coming and allows me to? I'll wake up, Brother Corey, and I'll be laying on the bed. Isn't that right? You know what I'll do? I'll raise up. And then the older I get, the more this next step, the longer it takes. Then I'll sit there for a minute. Ain't that right? It's what the Bible said. He raised us up together and made us to sit together. We're at in heavenly places. Is that right? There's two ways that can be preached, by the way, and they're both right and both biblical. That's right. When I got saved, not only did the Lord come into my heart, but I was placed in Christ. Isn't that right? Where's He at? He's sitting on the right hand of God. Well, if I'm in Him, I'm in heavenly places. Whether I feel like it, whether I don't, I'm made to sit together in heavenly places. Isn't that right? How would it say together? You know why? Because we put in Him. Y'all ain't getting that. Y'all ain't getting that. When He died, I died with Him. That's exactly right. When He's buried, I was buried with Him. When He rose up, Kirk, I rose up. You say, explain, I can't, but it sure is good. When He got up, I got up with Him. And when He ascended into heaven, I ascended with Him. And when He sat down on the right hand of God, Jerry, I sat down with Him. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. But that's what the Bible said tonight. Made us sit together in heavenly places. Boy, that's good enough right there by itself. But you know what He'll do every once in a while? He'll come by on this side of eternity, like He did this morning, and breathe by. Is that right? Oh, my, I'm not trying to diminish it. I promote it, and I encourage it, and I'm glad for it, and I hope you're hungry, and I hope we have another one Sunday morning. I hope we have another one Wednesday night, and I hope it keeps going. I hope we break out. I'm being honest. But you think this morning was good? Wait till you get to heaven. That right? It ain't even a drop in the bucket, neighbor. It's not even able to compare. Wait till there's no sin and no sorrow. And the hip, that's exactly right. You get that happy just thinking about seeing Him. Wait till you see Him, bless God. Oh, my friend. But aren't you glad He'll give us a taste down here? That's exactly right. Made us sit together in heavenly places. Watch what your Bible says. In Christ Jesus. Now watch verse 7. I wasn't going to go here, but I'm going to. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know what happened the night we got saved? The day He raised us up in a new life. We were resurrected. There was a spiritual resurrection. It didn't matter. I've heard people debate how Lazarus got out of the tomb, and I've heard them say, well, he shuffled his feet, and I've heard them say, well, he just floated on the Word of God. And you believe whatever you want to, don't matter to me. I don't care how he got there. I'm being honest, I don't care how he got there. All I know is the moment the Lord said, Lazarus, new life come in. Is that right? All I know is the moment I called out on Him, new life come in. Ain't that right? And I'll be honest with you, I don't even know how I've made it this far, Kirk. All I know is He called new life in, and He's kept that life a burning, and He's took care of everything I've needed. Ain't that right? Oh, my. He raised us up. He caused us to have new life. We spiritually resurrected the night we got saved. Then He made us to sit together in heavenly places. But there is coming a day. Verse 7 will roll around. Watch how it starts out. That in the ages to come. Oh, y'all ain't getting that. That in the ages to come. You know what that means? I'm going to put it in Logat for you. For on and on and on and on and on and on. Y'all ain't getting that. And on and on and on. There'll be no end. Y'all getting that? My soul. You say, preacher, what are you saying? That life that He put in us, that quickening that He did, it'll never die again. Isn't that right? This body will lay down. I believe Kurt and Kenny sing it. I believe. Well, I had it in my mind. I done lost it. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. The one where Kirk sings it, I believe, and talks about when you die. What's that? Maybe. You have to give me more than that. Come on, spit it out, somebody. You know, I don't know how, I can't give you the lyrics, but you come by, when you come by and you've died, don't weep for me, something like that. Do y'all sing it?
Yeah, someday.
Okay, how's that go? Give me the word.
Someday when I draw my
leg. Now listen. Now listen. Thank you, sir. Hey. What about this? You know why he didn't sing that? Because his body may not have been quickened. Right? Now that I got saved, my body was already alive. I had breath in my body. I had blood flowing through my veins. My heart was pumping Wayne. But my spirit was dead. Isn't that right? And what's amazing to me, I don't understand it. But there'll come a day that body that once was alive will die. Isn't that right? I'll lay it down. It'll deteriorate. I told Andrew this morning, he said, Daddy, he's got three asking me crazy stuff. He said, Daddy, what'll happen when you die? And I never have lied to him. You can do whatever you want to with your youngins. I said, well, honey, when I die, they'll take my body and put it in a casket and they'll plant it in the ground somewhere and the worms will come by and eat my body. You say, for sure, not telling that. Well, you do whatever you want to with yours. But I said, honey, when you come by, don't worry about that too much because I'll not know it. I'll not be there. That's exactly right, friend. Kirk said it to me. I said, my spirit, by then will have fled. You know why? Because it's been resurrected to new life, never to die again. Oh yes, friend. Kendra asked me the other day, she said, if you was to die, we went to a funeral somewhere, and she said, if you was to die, what kind of casket would you want? Would you want this? Would you want that? I finally just looked at her and I said, honey, I really don't care. I said, I don't care what you do. I've been honest. I don't. I don't care what you do. Throw me off a mountain somewhere. Throw me in a creek. I don't care. I said, I'll not know anything about it. And I promise you, I'll not turn away from what I'm seeing to find out what you did. Isn't that right? I don't care. Do whatever you want to. That's exactly right. That tabernacle I'd lived in all those years, John, it'll waste away to nothing. But the Bible said the tabernacle of God will be with men and he'll dwell with them. Isn't that right? Oh, my friend, the best is yet to come. That's what happened the night you got saved. You was resurrected unto new life. Made to sit with him in heavenly places. One of these days, that body will go away. But that spirit will be called up to be with them. Isn't that right? Yeah. Paul said, be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now you say, preacher, what happens to that body? Well, I'm glad you asked. Watch this. Turn with me, if you would. John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. Let me say this while you're turning. I'm about done. All the dead, saved, lost, no matter what division you want to make, every single person that ever has, is now, or ever will be raised. Did you know that? That's right. Every single body will be resurrected. I'm going to say it again because some of you are looking at me like you didn't get that. Every single body will be resurrected. And I'll show it to you right here. Look with me, verse number 28, John chapter 5. Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. What about that? All that are in the graves shall hear his voice. And shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Isn't that right? There's two different resurrections of the body. That's not my opinion. That's what the Lord said. There's the resurrection of unto life, the resurrection unto damnation. Isn't that right? Let me say something tonight. I'm going to get somewhere good in just a minute. But you're going to be resurrected in one of those. Everybody will be resurrected, but it'll not all be at the same time. And it'll not all be for the same reason. Is that right? One of these days, Kurt and I know we talk about, you say, preacher, how's he going to do it? I don't know. I don't. I've been honest before you. I've been as honest as I know how to be. Lydia, I don't know how you do it. But one of these days, my great, 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 great grandpa that I never even saw, and no doubt, John, is nothing but ashes in a tombstone, his body will be resurrected. Yeah. Now, I don't know how that'll happen. That's what the Bible says. Yeah. That right? Yeah. I don't know how that happens. I don't know. But the Bible said his body would be resurrected. Isn't that right? Yeah. All would hear his voice. They'd all be resurrected. Some are to the resurrection of life. Some to the resurrection of damnation. I don't know your heart this morning, but every one of us will be resurrected one of these days. It's up to you whether it's for the resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. Now don't get nervous. That's what the Bible said. I'm just giving you what Jesus himself said, that they'd be those that have done good be resurrected to the resurrection of life. Those that have done evil be resurrected to the resurrection of the damnation. Isn't that right? There's two different bodily resurrections. Can we look at them real quick and we'll quit? Let's look tonight first at the resurrection of life, or what we'll refer to as the resurrection of the just, or the resurrection of those that are saved. Are you with me? This is those that have been saved by the grace of God. Now let me say this. This resurrection takes part in three parts or stages. Now don't lose me. I'm going to show you. If you just bear with me, I'm going to show you the Bible, all right? Three parts or three stages make up the resurrection of the just or those that are saved. Can I show you real quick? Turn over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Now these three parts. This first one I'm going to refer to like this, as the first fruit. The first fruits of the resurrection of the just. All right? This was the first part. This is the first thing that will happen, or actually has happened. This resurrection has already taken place. You say, preacher, when did it happen? It took place at the time of the resurrection of Christ. Amen. Right. That right? The first fruits. Y'all done lost me, ain't you? The first fruits. You say, preacher, what happened? Well, look with me in verse 52. Chapter 27. Verse 52, the Bible said this, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints, now watch that word, of the what? The saints, which slept, arose. That's a bodily resurrection, isn't it? Graves were opened, and the bodies arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went to the holy city, and appeared unto many. Hey, you say, preacher, what happened? Well, we know what happened for the most part. We know that he died on Calvary. He's laid in a barred tomb and has spent 3 days and three nights. Isn't that right? During that time, John, he descended into the pit of the earth, in the heart of the earth, into what was referred as paradise. Isn't that right? He told the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Isn't that right? Now, I know, I hope y'all a little bit familiar. I'm not being ugly. I just hope you're with me because I don't have time to preach it like I want to. He descended to the heart of the earth and went to paradise. You remember in Luke 16, the rich man was in hell and Lazarus was in what? Abraham's bosom. Isn't that right? That's what was referred to as paradise. He descended into paradise. You know what happened? The Bible said he led captivity captive, isn't that right? He descended in the heart of the earth. He preached unto those that were in paradise, and they accepted him, and he led them captive. And what happened? He carried them out of paradise. Isn't that right? And you say, preacher, what happened? Well, the Bible said that many of the graves split open. What about that? There's a lot of preaching right there. What about here he is. It's just another proof that he's the Lord, by the way, because he resurrected, and guess what? When he resurrected, there was new life come with him. Isn't that right? That's the foundation of our salvation, by the way. We couldn't have a resurrection had he not had a resurrection. And it was by his power, and it's by his power that we resurrect. Isn't that right? And the Bible said many of the graves were opened, and many of the saints which slept arose, and went into the holy city, and were seen by many. Now, I don't know what all happened, but I just imagine a little woman standing there in the house and got youngins there in front of her window, and she's a weeping and said, I know you miss your daddy, but it'll be all right. About that time, one of them said, Mama, there he goes. And she said, oh, no, honey, now he's gone. No, Mama, right there he is. And turned around, and there he was. Ain't that right? Oh, my, what about that? You say, oh, preacher, how you don't believe that? The Bible said they were seen by many. Isn't that right? Many of the saints arose and were seen by many. The Lord allowed them to be seen to prove who He was. That right? That's the first fruits. You say, preacher, how do you know? How can you have faith in a resurrection? Because He's already resurrected some. That right? That right? There's the first fruits. Then you say, preacher, what else? Well, not only do we see the first fruits, but what comes next in the harvest? Not only is there first fruits, but then there has to be the harvest. Isn't that right? The main harvest. Yeah. Right? Now remember, we're talking about Bible days when we use these references. The first fruits, that's the first fruits that were taken. The harvest, that's when they come in, and that's when they came in and harvested the field. And then what did Ruth do? She was a gleaner, isn't that right? What they do, they just round the corners and leave some in the corner just a little bit for the gleaners to come and glean off of those corners. So there's the first fruits of the harvest. Then there's the harvest, the main part. And then there's the gleanings, isn't that right? That'll be how this goes. The first fruits happened after His resurrection. What is the harvest? This phase will take place at the appearing of the Lord Jesus in the air for His saints. Is that right? There'll not be another bodily resurrection. At his death, many of the saints that slept arose and were seen by many in the holy city. There'll not be another bodily resurrection until He splits the eastern sky and comes back to call us home. Yeah. Yeah. That right? That'll be the harvest. Believers will rise to meet Him in the air, what is generally referred to as the rapture. They will then appear before the judgment seat of Christ and go on to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians real quick. First, I know you know it, but let's just read it. I want to, okay? 1 Thessalonians real quick tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Let's begin reading verse number 13. Bible said, Paul tells the church of Thessalonica, said, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now listen to me tonight. You know why we have hope? Because we believe this. Is that right? If I preach that long, y'all losing me. That's the reason we have hope tonight, because the Bible said, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, but you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. There's no reason for the child of God to be sorrowful tonight. Amen. We're not like others who have no hope. Right. Yeah. That right? That's exactly right. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so that them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with them. If you believe He died and you believe He rose again, you ought to have no problem believing He's going to bring you with Him. Isn't that right? That's what Paul's saying. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. What about what Paul said? He said, just so you know, your loved ones that have died on before, you're not going to stop them from getting in. Is that right? Bible said, verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we, watch this, then which we were alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You realize tonight, I hope you're getting this. I feel like I'm losing you, but it's all right. I hope you understand that once we're called out, we'll never leave Him again. Bible said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The moment that happens, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more heartache. That's exactly right. There'll be no more worry. We will be with Him, and we'll be with Him forever. I mean, my soul, what a glad reunion day. I realize tonight that spiritually, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that right? But there is coming a day that the bodies of those that have died will be resurrected. resurrected. Those of us who are alive and remain be caught up together to meet Him in the air, and so shall we ever be. You know what happened in that moment? The higher bodies, as well as the bodies of those which have died, will be laid aside, and this corruptible shall put on incorruptible. Isn't that right? We'll put on a new body, a glorified body, like unto Him, and so will we ever be. And Paul closed it out in verse 17 and said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Is that right? Lord, bring comfort to your heart tonight. If you're here tonight and it doesn't bring comfort to you, it must be because you're lost. Is that right? If it took place right now and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you'd be left behind. That's right, friend. That's exactly right, Wendy. If it took place right now, I was talking to Jeff in the basement today, and he was telling us about what all they did. Said he had, Johnny was telling us he had these plates that went on both sides of his sternum where they had to, you know, they crack at and be able to split you open. And he said he had a plate that wedged that together that kept that straight. He had a pig valve that was in his heart now that would run, and had a piece of titanium somewhere in there, John, that held something in place. And he said, you realize if rapture took place right now, what about the one that come by and saw all that laying there? Is that right? You know why? Because it's corruptible put on incorruptible. You know what happened if a rapture took place right now? Listen to me. There'd just be a pile of clothes laying here. Is that right? That's exactly right. Can you imagine that tonight? And in that moment, for the child of God, there'd be no more sorrow. Be no more sickness. Be no more suffering. Oh my, what a glad day. Oh, be united with your loved ones and finally see Him face to face, the one that saved you by His grace. My soul, we'd bow down at His feet. Don't know what we'd do. We'd be reunited with Him and with our loved ones, and we'd go to the judgment seat of Christ, and we'd go on to the marriage supper of the Lamb, where Kirk, he'd gird himself and serve us and serve us at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And my soul, what a day that would be. But for those that are unsaved, if it happened right now, be looking at a pile of clothes. You'd look around, while we're here, we might as well preach a little while, hadn't we? I'd say you'd really be shocked this evening if a rapture was to take place. Can I just be honest? I'd say you'd look around and say, I can't believe they're gone. Then I'd say there'd be a lot you'd look around and say, well, boy, I thought for sure they'd go with them. Is that right? I'm not trying to scare you tonight. I'm just telling you it's that real. And it could happen right now. And boy, while it's a glad day and you ought to be comforted, if you can't find comfort in it, I'd make sure I was saved tonight. Because if it happened right now, it'd be too late. Do you know that? Wonder if right now, if you looked around, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible said, the church would be gone. Every single born-again person in this building would be gone. You wouldn't have time to say, well, preacher, will you tell me one more time? No, it'd be in a moment, John, it'd be over. Before you blink your eyes, we'd be gone. And it'd be too late. I didn't know we was going here, but it's all right. There'd never be another note played on this piano for an invitation. You know that? There'd never be another time that I look over during an invitation and say, one more, oh no, friend, it'd be done. Be over. Church would be gone. You'd look around, may see your mom and daddy gone. May see your neighbor gone. May see your family gone. I guarantee you'd hear wailing. I guarantee they'd be screaming. I guarantee there'd be somebody say, oh, I thought that I was. That right? Boy, what a hard way to realize that preacher had been right all this time. What a hard way to realize mom and daddy had been telling you right all this time. What a hard way to find out that your wife had been tenured all this time. What a hard way to find out that your husband had been right all this time. What a hard way to find out that your boss, that your co-worker, that whoever had been right. What a hard way this morning. My, my, my. Well, it ought to bring comfort to the child of God's heart. It ought to bring fear. It ought to bring trembling to the lost man's heart. I know what you want to know. You want to know, preacher, can I get saved after that? Can I take a Bible and show you? That'd be all right. There's one more bodily resurrection, one more phase. One more phase of the just after that harvest. Is that right? I'm going to show it to you. Watch this. There is the gleanings. Let me tell you who that'd be. During the tribulation period, many will become believers, be martyred for their faith in Christ. You can study Revelation 7, you know who that'll be? That'll be those that never heard the gospel. That'll not be you, friends. That'll be those that never heard the gospel. That's right. But these will include, there are some exceptions, these will include the two witnesses. Revelation chapter 11, you know who they are? They're sent from God. They some dispute. If you really want to know my personal opinion, I believe from in studying it, I believe it'll be Elijah, and I believe it'll be Moses, who I believe. Take it how you believe, whoever you want to. But those two witnesses be slain. Their bodies will be resurrected. And then it'll be those, that great multitude that was slain by the two beasts. Their bodies will be resurrected. Is that right? Now, I don't have time to get into it like I want to. But it's not, the tribulation period is not for you today, friend. The church will be gone. If you've sat here and sit under sound gospel, had the opportunity to be saved, you'll not have that opportunity then. If it happened right now, right this instant it happened, Corey, it'd be too late. Be over. Be done. My, 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 what a sad thing this morning, this evening. So there's the first fruits. That was when Jesus was resurrected. There's the harvest that'll be at the rapture. There's the gleanings that'll be during the tribulation period. Then I want to say this, there's the resurrection of the unjust. If you're here today lost, that'll be when you're resurrected. Takes place, Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, the Bible said, but the rest of the dead. Is that right? You know why it says that? Because the resurrection of the just has already taken place. So in Revelation 20, the rest of the dead, those that were lost, those that died lost, the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Those raised in this resurrection appear before the great white throne to be judged and damned. They say, preacher, that's awful hard to say it like that. What did Jesus say? There's a resurrection to life and a resurrection of damnation. The saved, resurrected to eternal life, to live with the Lord, to ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But to the unsaved, you're just resurrected to be damned with a lake of fire. Is that right? I don't know why you're dying on me. That's what the Bible said. They include all those whose names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know who that is tonight? Those that have never been saved. When does it take place, this final resurrection? Is the resurrection of the unjust. After the millennium, the wicked dead of all ages be raised for this judgment. God's not lost count, and He won't lose count. Is that right? Every single lost man, woman, boy, and girl will be raised in the resurrection of damnation. Friend, I'm not trying to scare you. I didn't think I was going this way, but seemed like that's the way the Lord led us. If you're here tonight lost, He's not going to misplace you. You're not going to accidentally slide in. He's not going to accidentally make an exception. You will, if you're lost, if you die lost, your body will be raised. But it'll be raised in the resurrection of the damnation. Stand before the great white throne. Be judged out of the books. When your name's not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be cast in a lake of fire to spend eternity. Yeah. It's just that simple tonight, friend. There ain't no use beating around the bush. There ain't no use trying to make it more complicated than it is. All the dead will be raised, but they'll not all be raised at the same time. Earl, while we'll spend an eternity with the Lord, the Bible said, soul, shall we ever be with the Lord? You'll spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Is that right? My. What a sad, sad thing. I want to ask you tonight, are you ready for the resurrection? Are you ready for that bodily resurrection? The only way you can be ready for the bodily resurrection is to have a spiritual resurrection. Isn't that right? Well, have you ever been saved tonight? Let's stand to our feet. Get the musicians to come. Give a song of invitation.